Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to the special edition of Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Mike Blewett along with my buddy, longtime compadre, co-host, friend, fellow writer, and all-around good guy, George Kurtz. George, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, Mike. Doing well. Looking forward to this show. Then after this, I got Fantasy Frenzy with Corey Parson. And then after, Mike, I have a home league draft. So looking forward to a first live draft I've had in about a week, about maybe 10 days. So looking forward to it.
I listened to a little bit of the show yesterday. So did you also have a draft yesterday?
No, I have a draft tomorrow. Back-to-back days, today, tomorrow, both my home. Tomorrow's my league, the one I'm the commissioner, and so the 30-year league. So that, looking forward to that as well. Yesterday was a bunch of birthday parties for my daughter,
happy
who turned
birthday,
eight.
Madison. I heard that yesterday. Happy birthday to her.
And my niece, Camille, who turned 23.
Very nice. Well, good stuff. We got a bunch of those birthday parties coming up next weekend when I have to wedge a draft in there as well. I'm doing the Granite Street Tavern League next Saturday. I'm going to do it with Kevin Walsh so he can cover me when I leave early. So that should be good too. That's a PPR league, and you know, I wouldn't call it high stakes, but $250 entry. It's a decent payday to the winner. So looking forward to that next weekend. And so George riding the longboard today. I believe he did yesterday. Covered for me. I'm a little under the weather. You may or may not be able to tell, but I'll be taking a periodic breaks to cough my brains out and try not to do it on air to you, the loyal listener. So to those of you that have joined us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app or on TuneIn or iHeartRadio or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country, thank you. We appreciate it. So as I, you know, sort of prove to you, everybody, that I'm not 100%. But,
Faker.
George, we did have a lot of games going on, obviously, the last few days. Excuse me. We don't have any games today. We have Colts-Ravens tomorrow. But I just think it's best to kind of go through some of these games, take a look at what the productivity looked like, and really get your thoughts on some of these players, because that's really the best way to flush out your thoughts on some of these guys and exactly what it is you feel that they can do this year. So I'll start with the game that was the first on the slate yesterday, and that was Jags-Vikings. We did not get any Fournette yesterday. He's a guy that, to me, the more I've been thinking about it, the more I'm sort of rooting for him. Like, for instance, I have a draft coming up where I'm 10th. And there's a couple of guys that are kept that would be conceivable first-rounders. Kamara is kept, and Michael Thomas, although, you know, I understand that in a 12-team league, not everybody has him in the top 12, but he's right there, right, in the conversation. And I'm at 10, so basically call it 11, since Kamara would have been drafted in those top 10. And I'm kind of hoping, excuse me, that Fournette falls. And I don't think he's going to get there. But I'm just of the opinion that they're going to be a team that, like last year, they ran the second or third most plays. No, they ran the most plays in the entire league last year offensively. I think they're going to be in that range again because the defense will be just as good. And obviously, they are going to try to control the passing attack as much as possible. So I do think, while he can get banged up due to his style of play, Fournette is a guy that I feel really good about banking on. Despite the fact that we haven't seen him yet, I feel really good about banking on versus some of the other guys that are getting taken in that range, whether you call it Saquon Barkley or Kamara or Kareem Hunt or some of the other guys. I feel really good about Fournette because his value is going to be so solid.
Oh, I have no problem with Fournette on my team. The way I look at the Jaguars, they can talk all they want about that Bortles has improved and da-da-da, and he's not a liability. Well, he's still a liability. they're going to win with the running game and that defense. You know, they're not going to want to put Bortles in too many unfavorable situations, second and long, third and long, where he can make the big mistake. I think in the second half, it's run. Run that clock down. Let the other team make the mistakes against our defense. So, I don't know. I have Fournette, I believe, at eighth overall, looking now. Behind, obviously, the big five. Barkley's the fifth one there. Kamara will be six. I think I have Hunt seven, Fournette eight. And if you want to reverse them, I wouldn't be against that either. I like the situation he's in. And I think he's going to be I don't know what to call it, a dynamic back, but he's going to be used quite often. And I guess what I really like is there's no other back there. You know, it's not with some of these other teams where they have a good second back or a pass-catching back or a goal line back. He really is to do everything for Jacksonville.
So that leads me sort of into the next conversation. We don't have to spend too much time on a first-round pick. George and I both like him. I would take him over Kareem Hunt personally. I do think that doesn't say anything negative about Kareem Hunt. I would just, when it comes down to this stuff, we're splitting hairs. That's the bottom line. And right now, I'm seeing ADP. I'm looking on Fantasy Pros. I'm trying to look at ADPs. It's not letting me get there. But I think Fournette drops down a little bit. They had him as the number eight running back. Let me get it right here. Here we go. This is standard scoring. Let's go. I mean, obviously, he's going to have a bump in standard scoring. He's not as big of a pass catcher, but since most people play in PPR, I think it's more important to discuss that. Or more people play in PPR than standard. I don't want to say most because people might quarrel with that. But nonetheless, he's currently at 12. So you have him right behind guys like Odell and Melvin Gordon, right in front of Dalvin Cook and Julio Jones. I'll get to Dalvin Cook in a minute, but I wanted to talk to you first about T.J. Yeldon, because you said there's really nobody behind him, and I agree that Yeldon is certainly not the guy that comes in and replaces him, but he's the 64th running back off the board right now. So he's a guy that is getting drafted in 12-team leagues, but obviously really late. Plenty of guys can go before him, and you're just taking a flyer on him, but he's not even really a handcuff. He's just a guy that catches a bunch of passes, and mixing them in. He had 10 carries for 39 yards last night, 5 catches for 73, to my point about him maybe being a part of the passing game. Considering the tenuous nature of the depth of that wide receiving core, do you think T.J. Yeldon could see a little bit of improved value here because maybe the receiving core isn't as buttoned up as it has been?
No, I don't. Well, I think you do need an injury. The numbers you brought out yesterday, what he did, that's fantastic. During the regular season, he won't be on the field anywhere near as much. You know, so those numbers aren't going there. He will need an injury to Fournette to really have any kind of value, which the ADP shows. He's being drafted as a running back six, which means he's barely on the board in 12-team leagues. You're looking at more 14, 16-team leagues, or people who do want to take a handcuff to Fournette. And I agree with you. I wouldn't call him a true handcuff. You know, who knows what Jackson would do should Fournette go down besides cry. But he's not something I'm going to be targeting or looking for. You can do better. Running back is weak in fantasy. It is. That's why they fly off the board in the first 2 to 3 rounds. But to take Yeldon, I don't even think he crossed my mind in a 12-team league. Even around 14, I want a better dartboard shot, dartboard throw than T.J. Yeldon.
Yeah, I understand that. If Fournette went down, it would probably be sharing between Yeldon and Corey Grant. It's not going to be, we've seen teams like the Steelers where there's one role, and if Bell went down, it would be James Conner coming in there, and they'd try to do the same thing with him, and it might not work, but they would try to have James Conner be the guy if Le'Veon Bell went down. That wouldn't be the case here in Jacksonville. I think they realized that Yeldon couldn't hold up in those scenarios, and they would share it between Yeldon and Corey Grant. So, on that point about that wide receiving core and me having a lot of question marks, now, granted, this is going to be a very low-volume passing team. We understand that. But there's always going to be some value at a team that's running as many plays as they did last year. Marquise Lee, far and away, the guy that you most want in that passing game. But after him, who do you like to see a lot of targets? You got Keelan Cole, DJ Chark, who's a rookie, and Dede Westbrook, and Dante Moncrief, and Rashad Green. That's your next five receivers. Right now, listed at starter is Keelan Cole. Could very well be Dante Moncrief. Then, obviously, at tight end, they picked up Austin Seferian Jenkins in the offseason. So, give me your thoughts there. it's not somebody you're going to target, probably, the Jaguars' second or third leading pass catcher, but who would you like after? First of all, do you like Marquise Lee, and who do you like after him?
I agree with you on Lee. I think Lee's the guy you want there. That's a conservative draft. He fits perfectly for my team. I know what he's going to do. He's not going to have a breakout team. He's a wide receiver three, wide receiver four. He can be frustrating at times because he gets banged up during games, leaves for series or a quarter, comes back. But he's the player I would trust the most. Not that I trust, but I trust the most there. After that, it's sort of a hodgepodge. You know, I want nothing to do with Moncrief, so I'll pass on him. I'm intrigued by Keelan Cole, but the upside seems to be with D.D. Westbrook, and he's probably the guy I'd go for after that. D.J. Chark, once again, is another intriguing guy that maybe he can break out. There's a lot of guys that you're waiting for. Who is the true number two? You bring in Moncrief. Westbrook, we've been saying his upside for a couple of years now, and you draft Chark. So who's going to break out here? Who does Blake Bortles trust? Does it matter? Because they're not going to throw the ball a ton. Is it really just Marquise Lee, you know, big games every now and then from a Westbrook or a Cole? Westbrook will be next for me. Cole will be third.
Yeah, so they, like I've been saying, they did run the most offensive plays in the league last year, 1,078. They split it right down the middle, 527 passing attempts, 527 rushing attempts. So while, yes, they do rely on running the ball, there still ended up being a lot of passes that were thrown. Like 527 is in, let me see where that fell. They were 21st in pass attempts. So just by the fact that they controlled the ball a lot, their defense was getting the opposing offenses off the field, they ended up throwing a decent amount of passes, just outside of the midway point. So you can't, as much as people will, from a narrative standpoint, try to dismiss this passing game because they don't love the quarterback and what are these wide receivers really amount to, there still are targets to go around. So when we're talking Marquise Lee going as the 49th wide receiver, effectively the turn of the wide receiver four or five, I could see him outperforming that, you know, especially if he becomes a little bit, he's not a true red zone option for people, but we talk about this a lot. There's a lot of variance when it comes down to the red zone, and two or three touchdowns swings a guy from being a wide receiver five to a wide receiver four and knocking on the door a wide receiver three.
Yeah, touchdowns are the equivalent of wins in fantasy baseball. You know, they're hard to rely on. You just don't know. You mentioned it, a couple of extra touchdowns here and there because he got whatever lucky. All of a sudden, he vaults up. Yeah, at the Jacksonville, like I said, they're going to try and win the game with defense. They're going to try and win the game in the run again. They will, and they'll probably run one of the most plays again in the league. Wouldn't shock me. The defense is so good. They're going to give the ball back to that offense a lot. You know, so Jaguars will have chances, but I don't see them opening it up, airing it out. You know, I think they realize, you know, it's the old Bill Parcells axiom. When you throw the football, only one good thing can happen, a completion. A lot of bad things can happen. Sack, incompletion, interception. You move on and on from there. So, and I think Jacksonville believes in that. I think they'll say all the right things about Bortles, but in the end, play a more ball control offense.
Yeah, Austin Seferian Jenkins, the 16th tight end off the board right now, behind guys like Tyler Eifert and O.J. Howard, in front of guys like Cameron Brate and Hayden Hurst. Of that group, I like Cameron Brate the most, to be honest. Here's the reality for tight ends. I think George and I have always been on the same page regarding this. I don't go after the early guys. I don't like the way my team ends up when I draft Gronk in the second round, which he's going this year. And I understand how valuable Gronk really could be this year. I think they're going to use him up, especially while Edelman's out. I think they're going to really put the pedal to the metal with Gronk. But you have health concerns. Kelce, I think he's a really huge part of that offense again. And Ertz, I think, is supremely talented, and I really like him as a player. But what it takes to draft those guys, I'm probably not going to see any of them. I probably won't see any of the top six tight ends, depending on how my drafts go, because I don't like paying up for that position. Typically, on a week-to-week basis, it is dependent on player X, Y, and Z catching a touchdown to end up as a tight end one for that week. And considering the variance we just talked about, I tend to wait on tight ends, and I'm more likely to see a Jack Doyle or a George Kittle or hypothetically an Austin Seferian Jenkins. I'm not targeting him, but I'm just telling you I'm likely to wait on tight ends.
Yeah, that's my philosophy as well. It's rare that I'm going to get one of the big names you mentioned. I like to load up on wide receivers and running backs early, so that's going to take me out of Gronk, Kelce, and Ertz. After that, the next tier, Olsen, Walker, Engram, Rudolph, Graham. I'd put those five guys in the same tier. Would like one of them. But once again, I may get lucky if everybody else is thinking the same way I am and one of those guys available in round 7, round 8, then I could grab one. But I'm going to end up in a lot of leagues with a Burton, Doyle, Njoku, Kittle, Reed. It goes on and on. There's like another 5 or 6 guys there. And I'll end up with tight ends in that tier in most leagues. I said there will be some leagues where a tight end slipped to round 6, a good one. That I'm like, oh, you know, the value's there now.
Right. Walker's going to be a guy that I'll look
for. Would love Delonte Walker. You know, and I'll take that guy. Maybe Olsen slips because people believe he's lost a step, and I might go grab him. But I'm actually one of those people who believes he's lost a step.
I heard you talking about that yesterday. I don't know that I'm totally on board, but it does make sense. I'm also, you know, you have those few 2 or 3 guys. It doesn't matter how impartial we try to be. There's just 2 or 3 guys across the league that you really like, just like him year over year. Olsen's one of those guys for me. He's been on my dynasty league forever. He's been really consistent, had a bummer of an injury last year, but he's been really good, and I still think he's the most talented pass catcher on that team. As long as he stays healthy, Cam will continue to look for him. But to George's point, he's interviewing for broadcasting jobs. He may not be all in on football anymore, and I don't blame him. He's had a really long career. So we're going to keep bouncing around these games. The Vikings lost 6 players yesterday. I don't know that any of them have any fantasy impact, but it's indicative of what we worry about when it comes to preseason football. So we're here for the next 3 hours. It's Jim Cardio and the Roto Experts, Mike Blute and George Kurtz on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Join us to go around the league after the break.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
The music, a little CNC Music Factory, Jim Cardio and the Roto Experts. This is what you hear like a spin class. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Hit us up at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blue. George is at George Kurtz. 844-843-6879. You can't call us today if you have any draft questions. I know many of you do. And if you want to get your season ticket to fantasy glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts exclusive Edge fantasy football package. It's not just a draft kit. It's a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week. And it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts like myself, George Kurtz. Go to rotoexperts.com. Use code WINNER, W-I-N-N-E-R, to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. So we're talking Jaguars. Now we're talking Vikings. Obviously, George and I haven't gotten a chance to chat about it too much, but this is a team with a couple of new pieces in a way, because clearly they made a change at quarterback, a massive change at quarterback. You have Kirk Cousins currently going, bring this up, I think 8th in drafts off the board in QBs. My computer freezes up. But also, we get Dalvin Cook back. And in my opinion, there has been a lot of Dalvin Cook love and not as much concern as I would express with him. So first, let's talk Kirk Cousins. He's the 8th quarterback off the board, behind Carson Wentz and Drew Brees. It's insane to me. People are saying Kirk Cousins is 8, and Andrew Luck 9, Matt Stafford 10, Jimmy G 11, with a bullet, by the way. We'll get to the Niners a little bit later. Lewis Riddick declared last night that that trade for Jimmy G could be one of the greatest in franchise history. So we will talk about him. And Ben Roethlisberger at 12. So Kirk Cousins at 8. You and I both wait on quarterbacks, but he's basically going the 8th quarterback off the board. How do you feel about that, considering the guys that surround him?
Well, he's in that tier. of where he should go. I mean, 10th round. So I do like the way, in one quarterback leagues, I do like the way in quarterbacks. Like the way, a long time on quarterbacks, mainly because I don't care which one I get in this tier. You mentioned Cousins, Stafford, Garoppolo, Roethlisberger, Rivers. Really don't care. I'll take one. Just give me one. As long as I got them in the late double-digit rounds, I'm good. It means I loaded up on the positions every place else. It's funny. Even today, in today's draft, I had the 6th overall pick. It's a 2-quarterback league, so it's quarterback heavy.
So you can take a QB. You may not?
Maybe. It happens to be a league where I have extra. I have an extra for – it's only a 10-team league. And I have the 10th overall. I have the 10th pick as well in a trade last year. And so that would give me whatever my pick is in the 2nd round. So what, the 15th? So the way I'm looking, if – I know Rodgers is going 1. Odds are Brady and Russell Wilson will go before me as well. If Gurley or Bell is there for me at 6, because all these quarterbacks in my mind are the same or really close to it, or figuring out which one's going to have the better year over the other, I'm probably going to go with Gurley or Bell. Because Gurley, Bell, Antonio Brown, probably a couple of these other running backs are going to go again before I go at 15, which means I can still get 2 top 10 quarterbacks with 2 of my first 3 picks.
I agree.
I can get Gurley, Bell, Stafford, and Ryan. And I'll go to battle with that. I'll go to fantasy battle with that. So I think that's my plan coming in. Now things could change. Maybe this is what's great about drafts. You never know truly what's going to happen in a draft. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe everybody's thinking like me and Gurley, Bell, Elliott, Johnson, Antonio Brown all go before me, or 3 or 4 of them go before me. Then I have a decision to make. Or maybe it's just Gurley and Bell that go. I don't know if I feel as comfortable with Ezekiel Elliott or David Johnson at 6.
That was going to be my question for you.
Right. I don't know. That's when I'll, matter of fact, during these next 5. Right. 5 hours of radio shows, that's what I'll be wrestling with. What if Gurley and Bell go? Do I still want to take Ezekiel Elliott at 3 and then go quarterback at 10 and 15? I don't know yet. I honestly
the fact that
don't.
You have that 10th pick is a huge ace in the hole.
Yes, 10-team league helps too because I know I'm going to get the 2 of the top. Next to the worst case scenario, I get 2 of the top 13 quarterbacks. That's my worst case scenario. Gurley and Bell are definitely going before that. My pick in the 2nd round, and I expect Johnson to go because I expect people on the turn who have who go at 9 and 11, they're going to take 1 quarterback and 1 running back. Or if Antonio Brown's there, they're going to grab him. It's the worst formatted league I play in. It's a home league. I like 2 quarterback leagues, but they should be super flex, not 2 quarterback. Yeah. That's a mistake.
The fact that it's 10, though, is helpful. You and I played in a 12-team 2QB league last year, and you're just sort of on pins and needles every week.
Stay healthy.
If somebody got hurt, you were done.
Right. Like your quarterback has to stay healthy in those leagues, or you're screwed. At least in a super flex,
otherwise, you
can replace
him. You were picking up, like, I got to get Andy Dalton here to help me out, but... frankly, a lot of people rostered 3 quarterbacks, so you were like, either going to have to make a trade or whatever. And
you were screwed if you quarterback. In a 2-quarterback league, you're screwed if your quarterback gets hurt. You purely are. But the other bad thing about this league, and the owner is very stubborn, this is not a PPR league, and it's not a standard league. He gives you a point for every other reception. So it's not even a PPR half. It's less than that. He doesn't like half points.
So you
fractions.
Have to have an even number of receptions.
You have to have an even number, yes. So, and you can't have that in a 2-quarterback league. You have to have PPR because you need to build up the value of the running backs and wide receivers. If you don't, you're really, really making this a quarterback-heavy league. It's just what it is. Like I said, if this was a norm, if there were 6, 7 top quarterbacks, there's no doubt in my mind I would take a quarterback at 6. But because, Rodgers is 1. If he fell to me, I would do backflips. There's no way he's lasting to 6. I know that. And then Brady, I think he'll be gone as well. After that, Russell Wilson on the offense, not sure I trust. Cam Newton, I never trust Cam Newton. He has to run in those touchdowns or he's not as valuable. Carson Wentz, maybe he's not starting week 1 or 2. And Deshaun Watson, small amount of time as a starter here. Defense will catch up to him a little bit here. So the bottom line is for me is I think I'd rather have that top running back, which I'd be thrilled to get, and then get 2 of the quarterbacks. If I get like that Stafford and Rivers, I'd be thrilled with that. Absolutely thrilled.
Deshaun Watson right now is vaulted up into 2nd, according to Fantasy Pros ADP, behind Rodgers in front of Tom Brady. That is absurd to me. But
I agree. I agree.
It's just
I get
crazy.
Why, but I can't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah. You know, ESPN did a whole pro football focus roster analysis article earlier this preseason, and they had the Texans as the 31st best roster, or 31st ranked roster. So they have a lot of question marks in offensive line and running back, and clearly J.J. Watt coming off of multiple back surgeries now. They don't know what he's going to be. Questions in the defensive backfield, despite the fact they added Tyrann Mathieu. But that did surprise me. However, if you bought into that 31st ranked roster, it could mean that they're down a whole bunch and they're throwing the ball like crazy. And they can't run it that well. Deontay Foreman's hurt. Lamar Miller's not that efficient. The offensive line isn't any good. Maybe he's chucking the ball all over the lot. Maybe. And DeAndre Hopkins leads in targets again. Like, that's the narrative. But it means I have to bank on their defense being really bad. And it's too talented for me to think they're going to be that bad.
No, I'm not buying the defense being bad. I will buy the running game not being all that good. I think Lamar Miller, I want nothing to do with Lamar Miller.
Same.
He had to really fall to me to draft me to draft him. Foreman is a guy I've actually taken much more than Miller. Because I think eventually, if he was healthy from the get-go, I would be much happier about, but he's not. But I'd rather have him, six, seven rounds later and take a chance, dartboard throw, that he ends up getting that job eventually than Miller holding on to it. I just don't trust him. I think he's an extremely average back.
Yeah. I'm with you. So we bounced around a bunch, and this is good. This is the type of conversations we like to have. But to focus back in on Cousins, I would take Breeze and Luck and Stafford probably over him. Maybe even Jimmy G, only because there's too many question marks for me about him being added to a new spot with a new offensive coordinator and a new head coach. And like, that unsettles me a little bit. And I'm not bashing Kirk Cousins. I think he's good. It's the best way I could say it. He's good. I'm not throwing parades because I got Kirk Cousins. Vikings fans should be pumped. They have a shot at the Super Bowl this year. I'm not picking him, but they have a shot. So, anyway, that's Cousins for me. I do think he's in that QB1 range. I would probably bump him back a couple, though. I just would. I would like Luck's upside and Stafford's consistency over his. And Jimmy G, I don't know. I think that's where I start to figure it out. Like Roethlisberger, I can't necessarily count on him for 16 games, and that's where it starts to get. The biggest bummer for me about quarterback is I was preaching a month ago, and probably people like us were preaching a month ago, like, you really can wait this year because Matt Ryan and Jared Goff and Phil Rivers and Pat Mahomes and Marcus Mariota are all QB2s. And what has happened? Matt Ryan is rising up draft boards now, and I'm screwed. Because I literally was relying on Matt Ryan to just be there in those teen rounds. And now it's not going to happen. He's the 13th QB right now. And he may very well overtake Roethlisberger to be a QB1. So, all right. We said our piece on Kirk Cousins. George doesn't really care in that range. He could have him, but not targeting him because he's going to wait. But how about the Dalvin Cook thing? I have seemingly more concerns than anybody I've heard on radio or in articles about his ability to come back and be good to go week one and just off to the races. I understand that he got hurt earlier in the season last year, but it isn't a year yet. You and I talk about ACL stuff many times in the past. To see a guy really be as explosive, despite the fact that we've seen Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell and other guys come back and be good, I'd want him to have more than a year under his belt before I have him as my RB1. I don't know how healthy he's going to look behind this average to below average offensive line. Like, I'm not targeting Cook that early. I think other people are going to get him, and I'll be out.
And I don't think anybody can blame you for that. I have no shares of Cook right now. I'm not avoiding him, not targeting him. It's the way it's working. I agree with you that more people like him than dislike him. They're expecting big things about him. And I think, you mentioned Adrian Peterson. And I think everyone's assuming when it comes to an ACL, everyone comes back like Adrian Peterson.
Yes.
And Adrian was a freak. Right?
Totally.
He was a freak. Right. I mean, I've had the surgery. It's a difficult surgery. It's a difficult rehab. Obviously, I'm not a professional athlete. Obviously, I didn't have the care that these athletes do. I did have it from the Islanders team doctor, so I knew what to go through there. But what they say about the injury is true. You can play in 6 to 8 months, but you really don't feel normal for 2 years. That is true. You know, so there is that. I'm not staying away from Cook because of that. Like I said, I'm not avoiding him. I'm not targeting him. Latavius Murray's there. And I had this worry before Zimmer came out and said this. I think it was yesterday or the day before, when Zimmer said that first couple of games, Murray could have a bigger role until they think Cook is ready to go. But even when Cook is ready to go, what's Murray's role? He's not a pure backup who's never going to see the field. He's going to have some kind of role there. Is it the short yardage guy? You know, is that what he's going to do? Is he going to take series away? So that's really my worry about Dalvin Cook, is Murray's role here. I just don't think they're going to forget about him. Plus, if they're going to give him the first month where Murray's going to be in there split time just to make sure he's healthy, that's a problem for me as well. You know, I like the upside of Cook, but I think we're ignoring the obvious downside here, that he's not going to be the same back, maybe not till next year, or maybe through half the season. You know, still going.
More the way I look at it, is your last comment. Like, okay, by week six, it's going to be Dalvin Cook that we saw for a few games last year. Okay. All right. What do you do for the first 5 weeks? You're making sure that you're targeting Latavius Murray because you believe in that rushing offense so much? No, I think they'll actually unleash Kirk Cousins in those first 5 weeks. If I could make an argument, that's when you really want Cousins to start it off. They have, and I've had this discussion with Kevin Walsh. Feel free to weigh in on this. The best 1-2 punch in the league, wide receiver wise, with Thielen and Diggs. The Steelers would have an argument. The Broncos would probably have an argument. I don't know that anybody else is all that close to those three. The Broncos guys don't get enough pub right now. We'll talk about the Broncos a little bit later, too. They don't get enough pub right now because they've been dealing with atrocious quarterback play for a while. So I think you can make the argument that maybe they lean a little bit heavily on the passing game, and they obviously have a really good pass-catching tight end as well, while Cook gets back to 100%. Maybe don't load him up with 25 touches a game before they're ready to go. And to your point, why not mix Murray in? They mixed McKinnon in when they wanted. They mixed Murray in when they wanted in the past. Why wouldn't they continue to do that?
I'm looking for teams that have good wide receiver combos. Giants could be in there. I understand it's top heavy with Beckham, but I'm a Shepherd believer. Lions,
me too.
Tate, Marvin Jones. I don't think I'd put those two above Diggs and Thielen. I probably would go Pittsburgh, though, with Brown and Smith-Schuster. And speaking of guys that I wish would calm down, I wish James Washington would stop becoming in the highlight reels, because I want to take this guy late. And now his price is going up. James Washington.
Oh, yeah. Nice catch the other night. Wow.
He's pissing me off, man. Stop it. His price
that was a really great catch.
But he's no longer a 14th round guy now. Now he's a 12th round guy because he's playing so well and everybody knows his name. Where 2 weeks ago, they didn't know his name. So it's frustrating for someone who wants to draft him. That now I may have to spend a higher price. That's what I mean by frustration. Obviously, I can still draft him, but now instead of a 14th round, my dartboard throw, now I may have to spend a 12th or 11th round pick. It doesn't sound like a big difference, but it is.
He was free before.
He was a no-lose situation. Now he's giving me problems.
Okay, so there you go. As far as the wide receivers are concerned, so I said my piece on Cook. As far as the wide receivers are concerned, Thielen going 11th. This is in PPR scoring, and Diggs is going, come on, computer. Diggs is going somewhere higher than where I can find him. I'm missing it. There it is. Oh, yeah, 13th. So, yeah, he's actually come up draft boards a lot, too, during the preseason. So, Thielen at 11, Diggs at 13. I love Stephon Diggs. He's the one guy I really wish early in our dynasty league I had made a deal for, because he went late in those, even in those rookie-only drafts. But I still like Thielen more. I'm just always going to take the guy that has the ball in his hands more. He caught it 91 times. Diggs, I believe, 64 last year. Very explosive player. Maybe even a better player than Thielen. But for fantasy purposes, Thielen's the guy that I'm going to take over Diggs every time.
I'm a conservative drafter, so I obviously go along those lines. One of the guys going to get the catches, the definite points. Diggs, I think, is a better receiver, but also has problems staying on the field.
Yeah, he's right around Tyreek Hill, Larry Fitzgerald, Doug Baldwin's a good group of receivers right there. Pretty good depth through that first 15 receivers or so. So George and I will come back, talk about some more teams that played yesterday, maybe Bears, Broncos. We'll focus on those guys next.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
A little DMV on your Sunday morning. You know, DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. Have the chance to win big this year alongside Sports Grid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men to have won two separate $1 million prizes. Must be nice, Jeremy. Each week, we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week? No worries. Your name will get to toss back into the hat the following week. Head to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and share and your share of $25,000 in action. That's dailyroto.com/sweat, S-W-E-A-T. So on to the next game that we're talking about. I was going to go Bears-Broncos. And I was just reading a story during the break about Broncos fans just giving it to Paxton Lynch. And Coach Vance Joseph had to say this: I feel bad for Paxton, but our fans want to win. That's what it's about. It's about passion, I should say. But I feel bad for Paxton. He has to ignore it and go play. It's professional football. No one's going to hold your hand, so he has to go out there and perform. he's fallen behind Chad Kelly, who's a seventh-round draft pick from last year, I believe. And now he may not be long for this team, George. I mean, it's just at this point where we see this a lot. The funny thing about first-round quarterbacks that bust is that not only do they bust and don't become a starting quarterback for that, don't become that team's franchise quarterback, but they find themselves out of the league. The league generally dispatches guys that were former first-round picks and washed out. Like RG3 wasn't even in the league last year. You've seen it in the past. Guys like, I could bring up names from the past, Tim Couch, once it was decided that he wasn't a starting quarterback, he was done. J.P. Lossman, done. All of those flunkies in terms of NFL starting quarterbacks just wash out. And Paxton Lynch may be going from first-round draft pick to out of the league in 4 years.
Yeah, John Elway traded up to get him. I remember Jerry Jones being upset that I guess he didn't have more draft ammunition to go out and get him. Worked out well for you, Jerry. Yeah. I mean, I do think he's not long for Denver. You know, I think Denver could be one of those teams in play for Teddy Bridgewater if the Jets are going to make a deal here, because I don't know. Denver has high aspirations this season, right? You got Case Keenum. Do you really want to go in with Chad Kelly as your backup? I wonder, you know, the NFL, we talked about this yesterday with Kevin. The NFL is a copycat league, and they saw what happened last year, right? Carson Wentz goes down, but the Eagles have a good backup quarterback. They still win the Super Bowl. And I wonder if more teams are going to go back to copying that now, where you want to have a very good backup. You know, I understand certain teams, it wouldn't matter. Like Green Bay, when Aaron Rodgers goes down, it doesn't matter who your backup is, you're done. You know, unless you have Tom Brady as a backup quarterback, you're done. He runs that team. He is that team. So it's not going to matter if you have a good backup or not. But there are other teams that are in playoff contention where if you lose a starter, you know, Jacksonville would be a perfect example. You know, they don't need a great starting quarterback. They just need an adequate one with that defense and that running game. So that they should be a team that does have a solid backup quarterback. So that's why I think Teddy Bridgewater will get some play later on this August.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of people. He played well, on Thursday night, and there was Twitter was alive with fans from different fan bases saying, we need you out here, whether it was like some of the places you just mentioned. Like, there are places that are thin at I think new I heard some Saints fans were chiming in that they could use him behind Breeze. And what was the stat I saw yesterday? People were playing around with QB ages yesterday on he's like 1 month older than Carson Wentz, something like that, Teddy Bridgewater, because he's been through so much in his career that people are assuming that he's older, but he's really still a young guy. Like he could have a second act somewhere. And New Orleans would be sort of interesting, right? We're just playing around with destinations, but that would be interesting. Drew Brees turning 40. Does he want to finally step down? And then Teddy Bridgewater maybe gets his second act down there. That would be pretty interesting, right? Miami. I believe he's from Florida. So when Tannehill's finally on his way out, which you think should be sooner rather than later. I heard you talking about him yesterday. Maybe Teddy Bridgewater has his second act in Miami, although it could be with an entirely different coach and, you know, organizational shift after this season if they're as bad as you say.
I think Miami's one of the worst teams in football. I'd be surprised at a top five draft pick next year. I don't think that's where Bridgewater would end up, though, for a couple of reasons. One, in the division. The Jets seem to be a team that wouldn't do that. And two, they don't fit my qualifications as far as a team in the hunt. Yeah, I think a team in the hunt is going to want that backup quarterback. And Miami, even if you don't think they're terrible, they're not a playoff team, right? Anybody would truly believe that? You know, so I can't see that coming along here. So I know. I think the teams, like I said, Denver makes a lot of sense. New Orleans would make sense. Teams that don't have a great backup quarterback, not a solid backup quarterback now, but are in the playoff hunt. They're going to see what Philadelphia did last year. I mean, once again, they didn't have Nick Foles, who, granted, was up and down. I mean, the last two games of the regular season last year, he was terrible against the Cowboys and Raiders. Those games were played in brutally cold weather, so maybe that had to do with it. But no one went into the playoffs thinking Foles was going to be magic. But he ended up being magic. And I wonder if the NFL copycat league, people see success, they want to copy it and do what that team did. I'm one of more teams going to look for that solid backup quarterback, which will give the Jets an opportunity to move Bridgewater should they decide to. And it makes sense for the Jets because the Jets, they don't owe any guaranteed money to Bridgewater until week one. Not that it's a lot of guaranteed money, so they can afford it either way. But if you get the best of both worlds, save the cash and a draft pick, you know, my question is going to be this. Are they just going to be greedy and they're going to want too high a pick? You know, they're going to want a third-round pick or a conditional second. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, and I know we'll get back to the Broncos and Bears in a second, which is on TV right now as I'm watching it. I think the Broncos blew a huge lead in this game. But nonetheless, there seem to be a faction of people, Jets fans, that want Teddy to go out there and play week one. I don't get it. I don't get that. I'd want Darnold to be out there if I'm a Jets fan. If I'm not going to go with him, I don't know that Bridgewater makes sense. But I think there's some Jets fans that are like, why don't we just try to win some games? Teddy's playing the best, and why don't we just put him out there? If I'm holding the line, I'm just going to go with McCown because I paid him $15 million, or I'm going to make the transition now as early as possible, as early as we see that he could make the jump, Darnold. The starting Bridgewater thing, even if he's playing a little better than the other guys, I don't really see it. I don't understand from an organizational perspective what they get out of it.
Well, I'll go like this. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, depending on what the organization is thinking here. McCown's the last quarterback I want to start. Okay, you know what he is. He doesn't help you in the future. He just doesn't. So if Sam Darnold's ready, he starts. I think that's the easy thing there. Whenever he's ready. If it's week one, great. If it's week four, fantastic. Whenever it is, he starts. I can see you starting Bridgewater over Darnold. Darnold's not ready. He needs a couple more weeks of practice. You know, we don't want to whatever. That's fine. As long as you have that, as long as you're being true to yourself and you truly believe he's not ready, fine. I would start Bridgewater over McCown purely because, same reasonings before, you want to showcase him. There are going to be injuries during the season. All right, they're going to be quarterback injured. Another team's going to get hurt. Someone's going down. It happens every year. We know it's going to happen. If Bridgewater's playing, his value just goes up now. You know, especially if he's playing any kind of well. If I'm a Jet fan, it's not to win. Once again, you're not a playoff team. All right? You're not. So winning games, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter. Of course it matters, but it's not first and foremost on my mind. What's first and foremost on my mind is what's best for the organization. And if you play Bridgewater and a quarterback gets hurt, well, now your leverage just went through the roof.
I get that.
I get that. Right, you may have the best backup quarterback in the game, or one of the top five. A guy's got a lot of. I don't really truly believe in Bridgewater, Mike. I don't. I don't think he's a great quarterback. But people do.
I don't think so either.
The leverage would be all Jets.
I think he was incredibly talented in college, and I thought Minnesota took a pretty, you know, they took a shot on him. I believe they traded up to where he's the last pick of that first round. I thought it was an appropriate risk to take. He was okay. His touchdown interception ratio was about 1-1, and the team has gotten better around him. They've tried to improve the offensive line, which still isn't great. Now they have two great pass catchers, and they have a dynamic running back and all that kind of stuff. But I think people are getting a little caught up in the hype machine because he's playing well here, and now they see him healthy again. I don't know that Teddy Bridgewater would come in, and it would be cool to see him have a second act. I'll be the first one rooting for him, but I just don't know that I'm on the hype train. But to George's point, yeah, I can see it. That they're trying to build some value with Teddy Bridgewater, that to me is the only reason that you play him. It's not really to win games, but there seems to be a faction of people out there that want him to be the guy. So let's go back to the other game I was talking about. It was we were talking about the Paxton Lynch getting booed, but let's talk about the quarterback on hand. Their numbers last night. I'll tell you how they shook out. It was Chad Kelly went 7 for 9. 90 yards and a touchdown. Case Keenum was 8 of 13 for 78, and Paxton Lynch was 5-11 for 39 yards. But Case Keenum is the new starting quarterback there. They needed some stability, obviously, at the position. Last year was a disaster. What are your thoughts on Case Keenum?
You know, I think he's a little bit more than a game manager. What always hits me is this. Man, Minnesota didn't try very hard to keep him. Not very hard at all. Right? I mean, is Kirk Cousins really that much better at quarterback? We got to pay him, what, 84 guaranteed? Really? You know, I don't view Cousins as that much better at quarterback. Yet they didn't try to keep Keenum at all. You know, was it just that magical year? Was it all because of Jeff Fisher that he was terrible? He's been a journeyman before. He's been around. It's not just with the Rams. You know, he played with other organizations, didn't do anything. So, right, I think he's just pretty much a game manager. I think Denver's another team that's going to let the defense. Let's not screw the defense over and make mistakes. Turn the ball over. Go 3 and out and just give the other team the ball in good field position. Let's not do that. You know, we think we have a good running back in Freeman. Our offensive line is a work in progress, but it's not pathetic. Yeah, we do have two good receivers and maybe three. Cortland Sutton is another guy who's really tearing it up this summer. So I view him as a little bit more than that. Now, he is my starting quarterback in the Scott Fish Bowl. That's because I was on the wrong end of a run, and I took Jameis Winston, and so Keenum will cover me for a couple of weeks. Then when I say starting quarterback, that's a super flex league.
Who's your other guy?
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
So I'll survive there. It's one of those times, Mike. It's just I had the bookend picks, and I didn't think – so many quarterbacks would go before I went again. I think like 11 went, and I got stuck with Keenum.
Yeah, our draft was very different from yours. George and I are in that same league. Scott Fishbowl is 900 teams. There's 75 divisions, I believe. And my draft went very differently from his. I did go out and get two QBs early. I went Tom Brady and Matt Ryan. But there weren't runs of quarterbacks at all. Like, I did not get caught. I wasn't going to let myself get caught. So I think those guys were probably round two, round five, something like that. But in George's instance, he just got caught, and I didn't want to let that happen.
I did my homework too, Mike. I checked other drafts, you know, because in that league, you check all the other drafts. And I'm like, oh, okay, no one's going quarterback crazy in a majority of the drafts. I should be okay here. Ended up being my league went quarterback nuts. Like I said, sometimes you get caught. I was fully aware when I made the pick not to take a quarterback that I might get burned. It wasn't like I was naive about it. I checked, and I knew, okay, I'm taking a risk here. And sometimes that's what you do. And you got to readjust your philosophy. Normally, as you know, in super flex leagues, two quarterback leagues, I'm taking two of my first three picks are almost always quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Almost always. You know, because I want to lock that position up. That league, I took a chance, rolled the dice. You know, camp snake eyes didn't go my way. But I'm also not complaining. Because as much as I may not be a big Keenum guy, I do have two solid running backs in that league. Or I forget who my third-round pick was, but it was a good player. In too many leagues, folks. But I forget who it was. But it was a good player. And I think I can survive at Superflex with Keenum until Winston comes back. I'll take that. So I think I'll win.
He's a 27 QB off the board, by the way. So we're not talking about anybody that's relevant outside of a 2 QB league. If you're in one QB league, Case Keenum's just on the waiver wire. You don't have to worry about him all that much. But in 2 QB leagues, you know, if you like him a little bit more than some of the other guys that are going around him, which are, for the record, Jameis is at 24. Obviously, you're dealing with a three-game suspension. Mitch Trubisky at 25. Eli at 26. Doesn't make sense based on everybody else being ranked so high on that team. Case Keenum, 27. Blake Bortles, 28. Ryan Tannehill, 29. Lamar Jackson at 30. Is well above Joe Flacco now, which, again, sort of
doesn't make sense.
Dynamic there. But Flacco's going to play for a long time, most likely. Anyway, so there you go. So, yeah, a little bit more than a game manager. That's what I kind of look at. We have Ryan O'Halloran. He writes for the Denver Post. He was on a couple weeks back, and he gave us a sense of the depth chart and that they were excited to have Keenum there because it was going to stabilize and utilize those receivers better than they have been. You know, these are two guys that are extremely talented. You could have made an argument at one point in his career that Demaryius Thomas was the best receiver amongst the best receivers in the NFL. He's not there now, but part of it is perception because they haven't been an efficient offense. So we'll just spend a couple of minutes here on these receivers and really what are your thoughts about where you're targeting them and if you're targeting them?
I'm not targeting him, though, because once again, if I don't like the quarterback and I think it's going to be a team relying on defense and the running game more, well, can't really target the receivers.
Demaryius Thomas at 18 in PPR leagues and Emmanuel Sanders at 32. So a late wide receiver 2 and a late wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I had a conundrum in my home league. I do have Emmanuel, it's a keeper league, and you lose the round you draft the guys in. And once again, that's a super flex league, so rounds are a little off from your standard leagues. Emmanuel Sanders in round 7. Do I keep him? You know, my keepers weren't good in that league. And I ended up deciding I have extra picks in that league as well as I bottomed out last year. So I ended up keeping him because I don't think he'll start for me anyway. I think with my extra picks, I'll end up having better receivers than Emmanuel Sanders. I like him, but I don't love him. I have Demaryius Thomas ranked 17th and Emmanuel Sanders who 32nd. So I obviously one is a wide receiver 2, one is a wide receiver 3. So I'm not high on them, but I'm not hatred of them either. I just don't know if there's enough throws that are going to go around to make either one a viable, a reliable player. I said I don't expect this team to rely on the passing game.
Yeah, they are quirky draft picks this year because you can't feel great about how the volume of passing that they're going to see, but they're still just as talented as some guys they're more talented than some of the guys being drafted above them. I can tell you that Ryan O'Halloran said Royce Freeman is the guy you want there all day, every day for the majority of the year. It's whether or not you want to spend the 21st running back pick on him. Come back, we'll talk about him and some of my keepers a little bit more in hour number 2.